Welcome. This is Efrat Sobolovsky from YU Connects, happy to introduce Candidate, a candid conversation about today's dating life with experienced guests. Our wonderful host this evening is Rabbi Shmuel Ismach, Rabbi of Young Israel of Great Neck and Rebbe in the Stone Base Medrash program at Yeshiva University. This podcast is anonymously sponsored Le'iloi Nishmas Chanoch Chaim Ben Yaakov HaKohen and by the Shlomo and Cindy Sylvian Foundation.
Hi, and welcome to Candidate, the candid conversation about dating and relationships with experts in the field. My name is Shmuel Ismach, rabbi at the Young Israel of Grey Neck and a rabbi at the SBMP program at Yeshiva University. With me this morning is Mrs. Varda Berkovitz. She's an active connector for YU Connects and has been for many years. She lives in Passaic, New Jersey, a mother, a grandmother, very involved in the world of matchmaking. And our conversation today is going to be about the positive role that parents can play in the dating lives of their children. This podcast is about good news. It's about discussing how we can best have the right attitudes about our children dating, how we could best be helpful. And we're going to focus on some of those methods and some of those ways that parents could be of help to their children through this process, and also how they can help themselves. So welcome, Mrs. Berkovitz.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Ismach.
Okay, so let's get started. So at what point do you think that parents can start cultivating the relationship that they need to be helpful to their children when they're in the dating process? When should they get started thinking about this?
Well, you know, certainly there is a lot of groundwork that can be done before the child starts dating. Definitely discussions between the parent and the child about things that are important to them, what they're looking for. It's important that the parents and children understand each other and they're on the same page. In addition to that, what's going to go out about the child should be something that is worked on before, whether it be a profile or just how you're going to describe your child to others. It's important to do this beforehand.
So let me ask you this. At what pace should this happen? So that's the groundwork and the positive relationship and working on their profile together before they, once they make that decision to get started. But to what extent should a parent be involved in pushing a child along to be or get started with dating?
Well, pushing is not something that should be done here. The cues should be taken from the child. When the child is ready, when they're expressing interest, I think the parent has to resist listening to others and what their kids are doing or what the friends are doing and really take their cues and pace from the child.
Got it. So is there ever a time that you think parents should be pushing their kids along, or is that the type of thing that's really up to the child and the best role that the parent can play, Ken, is to give that child that space?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors that have to be brought into play. It's a very individual decision. The child's other pressures, schooling, the other things they have going on in their life. Maybe there are things that they're working on, personal development, some of their relationships. It's more complex than just saying now or not now. But I think that usually the parent and the child will have an understanding when it's the right time.
Okay, good. So now the child has their profile put together and the parents and the children or child are on the same page as to what that'll represent and how that'll express their insides to the outside world. And now the process begins. So what is the guidance, the advice, the role that a parent should take when their child is dating? I know I feel this is something that I think about all the time. I have a child. I've been doing this podcast for a very long time. And I recently have a child who started dating. And so my role has totally changed in my understanding of this whole process. So I guess in short, what should I be doing right now?
I think that again, it comes back to taking the cues from your child and how much involvement they want from you. That's, I think every parent and child have a relationship where in general they have different levels of involvement. And it will also depend on the circles, how much the child is meeting on their own or needs a parent to facilitate that for them. But as the title of the podcast says, being positive is certainly something the parent can do, which will be tremendously helpful to the child. And I think in addition to that, having them keeping the focus on what's important in dating is also what the parent can do. So, for example, the idea that maybe someone who can show you a good date might have different qualities than someone who will make a good spouse. So keeping the focus on the traits that would make someone a good spouse, those positive character traits that we should be looking for.
Okay, so the first thing would be for the parent to remind the child what, above all else, they are looking for when sort of summarizing and accounting for how the date went, okay?
Well, let's say they come home from a date and they say, oh, I just found them very boring. For example, okay, you know, so you felt that they were not keeping your interest that much. Did you notice anything else about them? Oh, yes, they just stopped to talk to everyone. They talked to the waiter and they asked the waiter questions. They were interested in the cab driver. They were nice to everyone. Oh, they were nice to everyone. Wow, that's amazing. That's an unbelievable quality. So that might get lost in the focus on maybe they were quiet or boring, but to be able to point out, you know, oh, that shows they're really a nice person, whether or not they would want to continue with that person, but help the child to have the perspective to notice these kind of character traits.
What are some good questions to lead them in that direction?
Well, I always feel that the most important things are to talk about feelings rather than facts. We know a lot of facts about the person often before they even meet, and a lot of things have been checked into. We probably know everything about their second cousins, third cousin, twice removed, if we do a lot of checking, right? But when it comes to feelings, so that would be how you feel when you're with that person. How does that person make you feel about yourself? Did you enjoy the time you were with the person? Would you look forward to seeing them again? To help make it more about, oh, instead of was he, do you think he's smart? Do you think he's, you know, those are important too. But when it comes down to it, the feelings is really going to be the thing that makes the difference in whether someone wants to continue dating someone.
Okay, great. So you look for positive character traits, and that's the best way for the parent to remind them of what those should be and how they flesh that out. What else should, you know, the parents sort of be pointing the child towards?
Well, the parent and the child can sometimes fall in the trap of looking over their shoulder for what's coming. Oh, you're dating someone, but your neighbor just called and told you about this amazing person. So you're thinking, I don't know. What about that other person? How does that reflect on the person I'm meeting now? To try as much as possible to focus on the current relationship and not let yourself think about other people out there. This is the person who should be the main focus of your attention right now. In addition to that, it's giving people a chance. Give people a chance. Okay, you went out once, you went out twice. There's nothing bad, but you don't necessarily feel anything at that point. Maybe give it another date, give it another few dates and see what happens, because people's relationships can grow.
Is there a number at which point you think it might, it might be beneficial for the parents to say, okay, I think you've had enough experience, the feelings aren't there. Or should parents just sort of stay out of that process and let the kid come to it on their own?
I do think that there is a point when you don't feel like things are progressing, but I don't know if that should be the role of the parent to say, stop. I think the role of the parent could be to bring it up with their child. Are you still learning more about the person? Do you still feel like things are growing, are going somewhere? You know, it could be more of a discussion rather than a parent dictating one way or the other.
Got it. So let me ask you something, which I guess is on the minds of a lot of parents in the dating process. Sort of projection. They sort of project what the child is experiencing on them. It's sort of like they feel like if there's a no, if there's a yes, like, woohoo, we got one. You know, how does the parent sort of stay separate and not take these feelings that might, I don't know, what does that say about my kid, the child I raised? I thought this was such a good idea. How does the parent stay separate and just realize that, you know, the same way we tell our kids that they should figure out how to move on, so to the parents? but some great guidance.
Right. Well, you're bringing up the big issue in Shidduchim, which is rejection, because that is really what is the motivating thing that's going on. And it could be experienced on many levels. It could be experienced by the child. It could be experienced by the parent. And it's very challenging to overcome those feelings. We do tend to take them personally, and it's difficult. It's very difficult. There are ways to get past it. And I found in my own experience with my children that luckily there was a sort of seesaw effect, which meant that when my child was very down about something, I was, thank God, blessed with the strength to be able to take a more positive role and kind of help pull them out of it. And there were often times when my child was able to be positive when I wasn't. So I do think that it sometimes works that way. There are things that we can do to mitigate this, and we can remind ourselves about the good and remind ourselves about all the things that are going on that are special about our child, that are special about our family, and that there will be someone who will also agree and find these special things. You know, we do have to be able to say that there's a higher plan going on here, and we're part of that. And we don't always understand the smaller parts, the rejections that can happen, but we have to tap into that master plan. And we have to realize that we're not in this alone. If we're feeling like we need guidance or help, we should get it. We should get it from our rabbis. We can get it from our mentors. We can get it from therapists if we need to.
How about a dating coach? Do you think parents
dating
should...
coach?
Yeah, that's
dating coaches are great. Dating coaches go back to one of your initial questions about the role of the parent in discussing with the child. Sometimes the parent and the child can't discuss these things. It's not working. They might be able to discuss it and feel that it would be beneficial to have another voice in the conversation. So having a dating coach is great. It's great, and it can really add a lot to keeping people focused on what's important.
Is there a best practice for how much a parent should ask or how little? Can a parent feel like, you know, I wish my child would talk to me more? Or is just sort of the idea that that the communication can exist, that the relationship is there, is enough? And it's not about amounts. It's just about whether or not there's comfort to discuss if the need arises.
I think, again, it has to be the cues from both sides. I mean, the parent certainly shouldn't meddle, you know, and respect their child's privacy. I always feel that no news is good news. You know, if things are going along and there aren't, the child will usually come to the parent if something's bothering them or if something they feel is not right. They have doubts. It doesn't mean anything in that case. But if you're not hearing anything but good from your child or nothing, that's probably a good sign.
Okay, great. Okay, so we talked about sort of before dating, during dating, the relationship with the parent and the child. So there's another factor which I guess plays in here as well, and it might depend on the community. And we've done other podcasts on comparing and contrasting how these communities might work. But what about the shadchan, the matchmaker? Like, what's the relationship that parents should have to have the most productive and worthwhile engagement with a, no pun intended, with engagement, with a matchmaker and a shadchan? Like, where should a parent be on that? Aloof, very involved, too involved? Like, how would you articulate that?
I have to say that the statistics are about matchmakers. Around 70%, maybe a little more, a little less, of matches are not made by matchmakers. They're made by family and friends.
Really?
Yes. And even when you hear about a match that is made by a matchmaker, in many cases, it could be that the idea originated from someone in the dater's circle, and then they turned to the matchmaker to facilitate the match. So I do feel that matchmakers are very important. But I feel that whatever the parent does, they should initially, and in many cases, that will be their only focus, will be on their family and friends. If that's not their, if their circle is not one to include matchmakers. So what would that look like? It means you would prepare what I would call an elevator pitch, something, a very short description of your child and what they're looking for, and tell the people you meet. If you're going to a simcha, if you're at a dinner, if you're at a get together, I usually advise people to take out their list from their most recent simcha that they made and start calling the people on your simcha list. These are people who know you and you already have a relationship with them. Hi, how are you doing? Do you know that my daughter is looking for a match? Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Well, you know, I don't really do that, but my neighbor, she's made a lot of matches. Maybe you could speak to her. Or, you know, my husband has this new guy at work. Maybe that sounds like a good idea. So
do you think you have to inform your child about this before you do something like that? Or not necessarily?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, because all you're doing really is calling a friend. And
right. And if a phone call comes following up, then you make the decision then. Right. Okay.
Exactly. And I think if all else fails, you've come away reconnecting with someone that you know. It's really not uncomfortable. I had a conversation recently with a mother who had called me, and she was feeling very frustrated. And I asked her, are you doing this? Are you networking with your family and friends? She said, no, I spend all my time calling matchmakers. I said, why don't you try it? And she called me back, and she said, I feel like it was really good, Hishtadlus. I felt good about doing it, and it really made a difference. So I said, so, okay, maybe a balance of that and calling matchmakers would be good for you. You have to do what makes you feel like you're doing the right thing for your child.
Okay, great. What else would you recommend as best advice for dealing with matchmakers, not beyond them?
Okay. After you reach the matchmaker, ask them how often and how they like to be contacted.
What's the nudge line?
That's the matchmaker's going to tell you. The matchmaker will say, send me a text every week, or the matchmaker will say once a month. So I really think you don't want to be the nudge. So ask the matchmaker what they think is the right pace. Hopefully you won't need to, but
it's like the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but nobody wants to marry a squeaky wheel. So got it. Okay. Makes sense.
When the matchmaker does suggest an idea or convey that someone is interested, act on it promptly. Don't frustrate the matchmaker. It's very frustrating when you have a match and there isn't a response. If something is going on, let the matchmaker know and the matchmaker will handle it. But do respond in a prompt way to the matchmaker. Now, there are certain things that I call golden opportunities, and I often see people pass them up. And what do I mean by that? If your child dates someone and the person they dated says, this is not for me, but it's for my friend, it doesn't matter if you have a list of a lot of other people that you think your child should date, capitalize on that friend suggestion, because that's really a golden opportunity, okay? Because that someone who's similar to the person they dated, and now both sides know each other, and they're going to put them together. And those are really good things. Another golden opportunity, I recently sat at a wedding, and there were two women there who didn't know each other. And one of the women brought up an idea that sounded like perfect for the other woman's child, whom I knew. And I was like kicking her under the table, like, are you listening? Are you listening? This sounds really good. And then afterwards, when I followed up on it, you know, she was very kind of blasé about it. So I said, like, don't you see that something was orchestrated here, that you happened to be sitting together at the wedding and she happened to mention this idea that she knew nothing about, the fact that you had a child? So we have to, you know, pick up on these opportunities, I think. The other thing is that I don't think parents should be narrow about how their child meets others. We tend to think, well, in some cases, meeting in person at a mixer type of situation or online, those would be considered fringe type of things to do. In other cases, going to a matchmaker might be considered a fringe thing to do. But I think we should be open, say there might be other ways for our child to meet. So you might start with something that feels more comfortable, but as long as it's something that's appropriate, it might be good for your child to have other opportunities.
Okay. All right. So all of those methods from figuring out whether or not you're going to need a matchmaker by making things happen on your own, by calling friends and connections, figuring out how to best engage with a matchmaker so that like you're not being a nudge and you're at their sort of capacity level to get noticed but not be too annoying. Figure out, if I remember, the make sure you make the calls back, you do the research quickly, be prompt about the process, or at least be communicative and be open to different sort of ways to meet people. It's not only one way, my way, the highway. Okay. Is there anything else?
Yeah. I should just add that it's important to show gratitude for what the matchmakers do. It could be in a tangible way. It could just be a thank you. It depends on what your situation is and what your comfort level is, but a lot of matchmakers work very hard. There could often be many, many, many suggestions which don't come to fruition.
Okay, now we've talked about relationship with the child, the relationship during the dating, relationships that parents can create with the shadchan, and generally setting up their children. How about like their own internal world? Like, how does the parent get the right perspective? Like, what's helpful for parents to be thinking while their children are going through this process and they feel like they don't have control?
Yeah. So, you know, this whole process is really a balance between our emuna and our efforts. Okay. So sometimes those can be in conflict with one another. And there are definitely things that have to be balanced out. The best piece of advice that I ever got as a mother of children who are dating was, if you are feeling upset and anxious, you are doing too much. You're putting in too much effort in this. So I had my own internal barometer. If I was making phone calls or I was working on an idea, as soon as I started to feel anxious, I said, oh, okay, I'm doing too much now. It's time for me to stop. I can pick up tomorrow. I can do something else. I can sit and read something. I can say some Tehillim. It gave me a way to keep my own tabs on what I was doing and how I was feeling, which in turn helped my child. Because they wouldn't then pick up on my own feelings. The cute catchphrase for it that I heard that also gave me a lot of help was, put less faith in your efforts and more efforts in your faith. And so keeping that in mind while I was trying all these different things really, really helped.
I like that. Put less faith in your efforts and more efforts in your faith. Okay, that's great. That's great. Okay, any other tips?
Sure. The famous saying about Shidduchim being like the splitting of the sea, a lot of explanations for that. But the one that I think resonated most with me, still resonates with me, is the scenario that was happening at the time was that we had the sea in front of us. We had the Egyptians behind us and we were trapped. And really, we could have been shown a vision that the sea was going to split and we were going to go through, but we were not. And I think that one of the biggest challenges in the whole issue of dating and marriage is, as a parent, is not knowing. We don't know. If someone would say to us, you know, in a year, you're going to meet someone, okay, we would relax for that year. We'd figure out how to get through it. But we don't know when, we don't know who, we don't know how. And this is, you know, this is tremendous, tremendous emuna building experience, which is what the splitting of the sea was. That's why it happened, to build our faith. So we have to kind of lean into the not knowing, I think.
Well, okay. So balancing hishtadlus and emuna, and remembering that the hardest part is that we don't know. There's just so much that we don't know, and we don't have the information in our futures in front of us. Okay. Any last tips for gaining perspective?
Yes, I think that to develop the gratitude attitude, in the sense that this particular area of our life might be challenging, but there are so many ways and so many parts of life where we have many blessings and many things that are good. My husband and I, at the time that our children started in this part of life, we made a journal of where we wrote in all of the things that we felt we were grateful for. We wrote in also things that happened that were hashgacha pratis, special things, ways that we saw that the care was there in our life, even if things were challenging and not going well in this particular area. And that helped us keep perspective. And that's important, because I feel that all of these things that the parent does, the child absorbs. They do absorb these messages.
Wow. Okay. So this is, I feel better already, I have to say. I feel better already as a parent of a child in Shidduchim. And I think this is very insightful, trying to figure out how to best prepare my child and navigate the child who is dating, figure out how to communicate with the Shadchanim best, and sort of to get into my own head. So I wanted to thank you for your time, Mrs. Berkowitz. And I know you've made many Shidduchim already. I hope you continue. I hope you continue with this insight and this wisdom, and that you're able to make many, many more matches. You should have a lot of hatzlacha in that. And thank you so much.
Thank you
for joining us.
Thank you
today.
So much.
And thank you all for listening to one more episode of Candidate. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you to our gracious host and guests this evening. Please email us at yuconnects@yu.edu to suggest future dating and relationship building topics and guests for your enjoyment. Candidate at YU Connects.